Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm going to give you back to our owner, Mr. Irsay, right here, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Here's Mr. Irsay.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
And now, the world's tag team champion.
Cock back the hammer, watch me lay him down. Saw face the villains, we don't play around.
Brady takes the snap, and he throws it left for a wide open wide, who dives into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Brady, who's under center, he screens it left. The catch made by Patterson, who ducks into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Amazing! Boy, the offensive rebound, couple love and know is back, folks.
All they keep telling me is how damn good you are.
To the chase, you have a bucket of waste. I've been put up to the pace, Bama Yama when I waste.
Brady with a place, make to Michelle. Stands in the pocket, bouncing left, sliding back left. Directly in traffic, a lot of time to launch a long hierarchy pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon! In the right side of the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
So sexy, Flash Gordon!
Number 500 in the regular season career of Tom Brady!
Woo.
Sexy.
Fear me coming like Indominus Sue. Bottom line, I'm a problem for dudes. It's not an option to lose.
Shotgun snap, Brady. Give to Michelle. Runs to the left side. First pass to the 25. Outside of the 20. 15-10. Left sideline 5. Touchdown, Patriots!
I maintain my fly sock and cultivate my grind one. You can call for help, but you'll be dead by 9-1.
Sexy.
I'll be riding a rebel like a broken elevator. Wrong, I'm so ready, love.
Hey, Quentin, what's up?
Touchdown, Patriots!
Thank y'all.
Thanks, Chris.
The rivalry is back on.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. Last night, the Patriots, very close, too close, against a team that only dressed 44 players and were missing at least three of their top players.
And then lost two or three along the way before the game ended.
I wouldn't start getting too jazzed.
I think the first half was phenomenal. And then the second half, the defense let up, 290 yards or something like that? But then again,
people couldn't hold on to passes.
Well, that was, I mean, that was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the Hogan, the best was the Chris Hogan one that slipped out of his hands. And then you had those guys from the Colts like do that celebration and like pose for the camera after the interception.
You're behind, right?
By a ton,
aren't you?
I think at that point, I think they were down like two scores, maybe. At that point, but they had they had the thing all prepared and ready to go, so they had to get that ready. But that was a strange one last night.
Yeah.
But it's good to, I mean, Josh Gordon, the fact that he got involved, that's fantastic.
A broken play.
Edelman changes everything.
No, they didn't play well. They didn't play
First half, they played excellent.
It doesn't matter. It's a two-half game.
Offensively, they played well, except for those two major drops.
Offensively, they look great.
A team that was completely hobbled. Against a team destroyed.
What you're supposed to do with a team like that. They scored 38 points on them. It's the defense you had, more so than the offense you have to worry about.
Okay, and they were missing three great weapons on offense.
Sure, and they played great against them.
I'm not arguing.
The defense did not play great against them.
No. I thought you meant the other way. Yeah, because T.Y. Hilton was out, and then you had
Doyle was out.
Costanza, the tackle, which is important.
Anthony Costanza.
It's not Costanza, Seinfeld.
BC kid, we had him on.
I know, we like him.
Costanza.
He's a good guy.
No, they had a rookie playing right tackle. I'm going to pee on this game the whole day.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't look good.
No, defensively, that's all I could think about in the second half while Andrew Luck was racing up and down the field. They have to face Mahomes in a week and a half and that offense. Now, Kansas City's defense is god-awful, one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. But that's all I could think about. That game against Kansas City a week from Sunday is going to be 45-42.
Yep. But for a first game, when you are seeing the offensive players on the field that you're expecting for hopefully the rest of the season, I mean, Edelman, for a guy who just came off, outside of that one dropped open, like wide open pass, he looked really good, and it does change a lot.
He was okay.
He was good.
Gronkowski didn't, you know, it didn't really help him overly.
All I was worried about with Edelman, did he look like his former self? Now, right. His numbers weren't great. You're right. 7 catches for 57 yards, but he looked a lot like the guy you saw 2 years ago.
And he had catches on important downs.
And even on punt returns, he didn't look uncomfortable. No. He looked like his normal self. And if that's the starting point,
so you're
pretty good.
You're saying the bar was fairly low.
No, I just wanted to make sure he looked normal and wasn't hesitant.
And he did.
And that's it.
That was not a good win.
No,
it wasn't.
Defensively, they should have scored 50 points on that team and blown their doors off. And it was uncomfortable early in the fourth quarter. Right. That shouldn't have happened.
When Eric Ebron, and I can't stress you enough how bad Eric Ebron is.
Yeah. McCourty had a horrible game last night.
When Ebron is doing damage against you, you are in big trouble.
Yeah, the defense really struggled against a team that was minus its top weapon. I mean, the defense has a long, 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 long way to go. And you saw Dante Hightower get taken off the field in third down situations. I mean, this is a big, big problem. You're in a situation. Patrick Chung back certainly helps. You're in a situation now where you have to carry 6 defensive backs on passing downs.
And you will agree that that was a completely decimated Colts.
Well,
team.
I mean, it was every 5 minutes, Buck and Aikman reminded us. So even if I had forgotten, I would have been reminded constantly.
Well, Magnus Hunt, or whatever the hell his name is,
Margus, right?
Margus Hunt, my favorite player in the league, was cruelly hurt in that game, which I was looking forward to watching him. Roger, go ahead. Roger. Well, Roger was pointing out to the fact that there was a little man by the name of Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner.
Winner, Chicken
Dinner. Dude, he was right there, front and center. I had heard reports that he was walking around, hanging out with the team on the sidelines. And sure enough, much like the photos of Sasquatch in the middle of the forest, I was getting photos from like
frosted tips blazing.
Right at the top of the loge section. They're shooting it down there, and there it is.
That's where he goes, you like your nachos? In a trash can.
I know him and Robert Kraft were next to each other for a lot of the time on the sideline. So he's like, "Can you get me a nice grilled hot dog sliced?"
Yeah,
he said, "I could probably do you one better than that." And then, blam! As you said, you've got a big trash can nachos covered in donkey sauce,
just sitting there waiting for you.
But the best was that he wasn't happy last night. Like, I was wondering, it was like sad Fieri. I've never seen Guy Fieri like that
because
disappointed.
Because usually on a Thursday night, the Fieri man is out with, like, Kiss and having some fun.
I heard Fieri, I'm not joking, I heard Fieri, like, really likes to party.
Yes.
Like party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
So, like, I mean, stay up all night and that's his deal. Now, he's probably in town because he thought that his A's could potentially be playing at Fenway Park, because I know that he's obviously a big Oakland guy, and so he came out there for that, and then somehow, is Fieri not going to stand on the sidelines?
I think
that How is he on the sidelines?
Because I think he's friends with Robert Kraft. I really do.
Well, he does Brady's event, the best buddies every year.
I understand that, but
he was
with
Kraft. he was just hanging out with Kraft.
The entire time I kept seeing Guy Fieri. I'm like, why aren't you smiling? I'm not used to this.
Because he was bummed. Like, there was no blow anywhere.
Something is like completely amiss in Flavortown. And I don't know what it is.
You're saying there's trouble? Like the Hamburglar has infiltrated Flavortown?
Apparently they did. Things aren't as flavorful as they used to be. But that it might have been 10 seconds of television where Brady's warming up at the sidelines. And like, it would just, you'd briefly see like Fieri's head and be like, so sad. Life is pain. And then it would go off the screen. And then it would come back.
Maybe Fieri
trash can nachos. Everyone knows I'm a fraud, and then it would go off the screen again.
Maybe Fieri was invited to the owner's booth in the owner's box, and then they told him not to worry. There was, you know, food already there. And he was like, well, you know, just give me some donkey sauce and I'll put it on everything. And they're like, we don't have any donkey sauce. And he's like, well, do you have ketchup and mayonnaise so I can make it?
Just make some aioli?
And they were like, no. And he's like, well, then why am I here? Then what is my life worth?
No one knows what right. it's like right. to be the bad
loser,
man.
Loser, chicken dinner. As he slowly walks away. Man. You just see his blonde frosted tips disappear into the darkness.
Just glowing in the darkness.
I don't know why I was obsessed with the sadness last night. I've never seen Guy Fieri in a bad mood, ever. And it freaked me out a little bit, to be quite honest. I want to know what's. I want to get to the bottom of this.
It's just funny who's on the sidelines. It's like John Bon Jovi or Guy Fieri. It's like some weird, like.
I mean, you would. Okay, if you would have given me those names, like before I knew anything about like their involvement with the Patriots, I would have said, well, that's Mark Davis's guest.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
sure.
Like, without a doubt, that's the first thing I would think. Well, this sounds like the dream list of Mark Davis.
Just like garbage. Guy Fieri and John Bon Jovi.
Right. But where's Mike Reno of Loverboy when you need him?
Just like, you know? like who wants these guys around?
The Patriots, apparently.
Yeah, I know. They're really... All right. Well, we will get into everything that happened last night, including, I know it's not going to be big news today, but a 180 that you will be very happy about with the Bruins. And also, perhaps some goaltending controversy, which I truly believe is going to happen.
True. No, I exactly. I even two games in, I think it's all right to go.
Halak really looked good last night.
He did. All right. We will be right back.
Dutcher and Rich.
Guy Fieri may have been extremely sad on the sidelines, but the scoreboard left Patriots fans pretty happy.
White the single back behind Brady, who's under center. He screens it left. The catch made by Patterson. Ducks into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Boy, the offensive rebound. Come to love and know his back, folks.
A near-perfect first half set up a much more concerning second half, but despite the rust of several key players, the offense scored a ridiculous amount of points. The Patriots win 38-24 yesterday at Gillette, with Julian Edelman playing in his first game since he made that catch in Atlanta in the Super Bowl that everyone talked about. It was immediately apparent just how missed he was in this offense.
Quarterback takes the snap, and Brady against the three-man rush throws underneath to Edelman. That'll get it started. Julian with a dive to the 34. It's a gain of 9 as Walker covers up. Julian Edelman with his first catch in more than a year.
Well, despite that wide-open drop on third down, and man, was he wide open, Julian looked great for a guy coming back from an injury. 7 catches on 9 targets and 57 yards. He had big catches on crucial downs, which he is known for, and Brady had his dependable mini-me wannabe back. However, James White may have taken over for Brady's most reliable resource. Ever since Tom complained about White not being involved in the offense more, he's been everywhere. In the first half alone, he caught 9 passes on 11 targets for 74 yards and a touchdown, and he also made for some pretty strange zogasms yesterday.
3 wides to the left, 1 to the right. White wheels out of the backfield, makes the catch right flat. Oh. Makes a man miss to 40, near sideline 45, and James White is shoved out of bounds, chased by Najee Good.
Like, that one might have actually produced some product there.
Yeah. Like, he keeps saying sexy, product. Too.
Sexy's a thing. Oh, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, he could. This whole sexy thing is very new.
Well, shall we go down that road? Yeah. But easily
sexy.
The score that's making the highlight reel of the morning is this one. And speaking of scoring, take it away, Scott.
A 1st and 10 from the Colt 34. Brady with a play fake to Michelle. Stands in the pocket. Bouncing right. Sliding back left. Directing traffic. A lot of time to launch a long high arcing pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
So sexy. Flash Gordon.
Number 500 in the regular season career of Tom Brady.
Okay, that clip cuts off, but it's got about 20 seconds left. I heard it this morning, and he's analyzing, and then at one point just goes, sexy.
Yeah, I don't quite get that. Like, I don't know what he's going for there. Like, that. What a weird adjective to put on something.
Like, amazing, or, but sexy, it means that you would wish to fornicate.
Yeah, sexy means that you find it arousing.
Yeah.
There's no other definition.
Yeah.
I mean, people say that certain storylines are sexy and certain matchups.
That's because,
but like that
matchups are sexy.
like, you talk about games, like, you know, oh, it's going to be Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. All right, this is a sexy matchup.
Well, that, as far as I would the media is concerned.
Well, but it's been used that way. I understand.
Right, but I would still
I don't use it that way.
Adjective.
Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, I would slap someone if they said that in front of me.
But that is strange. Yeah, and that's like a couple weeks in a row. And it's only been about Josh Gordon, I think, too. So there's something about the muscles, maybe?
He finds Josh. Well, Bad Boys. Obviously, Zolak likes Bad Boys.
He's a fan of the Bad Boy, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, when he watches Grease, he's all over Russo.
He's got Zuko. Chills, they're multiplying.
Zuko, that's right.
That's right, when he sees him, he should just say that, I got chills, they're multiplying.
And he's like, oh, he's Grease Lightning. Yeah.
Well, Josh,
you know what the chicks are going to do?
Well, I do know that. I've heard.
Put it in your coffee.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh Gordon had his first touchdown as a Patriot, and it's a bomb from Tom Brady. Brady went 4 for 4 for 64 yards and a touchdown to Josh Gordon. Just imagine if these guys end up getting some chemistry. That is going to be something to watch. However, everything didn't go super smooth on the offensive side. That, and speaking of Zolak, he gets pissed off fairly easy, we're learning.
Shotgun snap in an empty set. A throw down the middle off the hands of Hogan. Picked off on the deflection. And Farley has it, running it past the 30 for Indianapolis, where he is tackled.
Cheap pick. Where's he going?
So the
scoreboard tool bag
come away with the interception, trailing 24-10 here in the third on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Up Patriots.
Robbery's
Radio
on.
Network.
Yeah. Scoreboard.
Bob.
It's 24-10.
Yeah, it was 24-10.
No, he's talking about the Colts. I think that's when the guys were making the picture.
Yeah, no, that was what we were talking about. The guy's like, hey, look at me, and he's down two touchdowns. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, down two touchdowns. Good. Yeah,
he's saying scoreboard, loser, because they're like posing like that. Like, all right.
Well, fine.
What, peacocking when you're down that much?
Yeah, you just made an interception that could make it a one touchdown game.
If you're happy, that's great. But when you involve like six of your buddies and start posing for imaginary pictures, that's a little much when you're down 14 points and with the ball in your own territory.
And it was at the end of the third, too.
Yeah,
like,
you didn't have, like, all day to get back. Come back from that.
I'm with Rich. You don't go crazy after that.
I didn't have a huge problem with it, but I also knew exactly, like, I was like, oh, come on. What are we doing?
All right, but it's not a meaningless interception.
No.
I mean, it's not a game that's a game that they came back
in. It's fine to be happy, but a prearranged thing is ridiculous.
Right. Is it worth something that you coordinated with your friends pulling off at that point?
Yeah, you just intercepted Tom Brady. You kept your team in the game. Brady goes down and scores. The game's probably over.
Yes. So
I mean, yeah, it's cool to be happy, but
as long as it doesn't take time.
That one took 30 seconds?
Yeah. As long as it doesn't take time.
Well, it did. It did.
Yeah, but
they had to gather them all around.
That's right.
They had to all do their thing, and they stood there for like 5 full seconds.
I didn't find it wasteful.
I did.
It was
Zolak apparently found it wildly offensive. Yeah. It's as if, like, you know, somebody farted at a funeral.
I think if Bob doesn't go to break there, it gets a little gnarly.
Okay. That's the sound of Sosie getting nervous.
Yeah.
Like, you could hear, like, Sosie, oh, no, don't call him a tool bag or whatever he called him.
No, he called him a tool bag.
It was like,
that's the antithesis to sexy. There's nothing sexy about
right,
that.
Not sexy at all.
Right.
Well, there was also the ball
thinking about baseball.
Yeah, well, there was also the ball that popped right out of Gronk's hand. So Brady was credited with two interceptions that weren't his fault. And
they
in fairness, Andrew Luck was credited with an interception that was not his fault.
By the way, Hogan's out. He ain't ever throwing the ball to Hogan again.
Well, he's outside of the circle of trust.
Yes.
I mean, you can tell after what happened yesterday.
And if you're Brady, do you throw the ball to Gordon or Hogan at this point?
Well, how about Dorsett or Hogan?
Or Dorsett Hogan. Yeah. Or, I mean, he can't get separation from anyone. And, I mean, was he wide open any of the times that Brady threw him the football last night? Again, he's blanketed by third and fourth string cornerbacks. And when the ball does come to him, he can't hang on to it.
Yeah, and they were relatively contained Gronkowski.
Yes.
They contained Gronkowski. Edelman didn't go crazy,
and
Hogan still couldn't be a part of the offense.
Well, outside of that, it was the best game of the season for Tom Brady. 34 of 44 passes, 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and a Chris Hogan who may be slowly disappearing from Brady's circle of trust. And as good as the Patriots' D was in the first half, man, they were lousy in the second, giving up 298 yards. That is a problem for one half, especially when your next opponent is one of the best offenses in the league. That didn't mean that the defense wasn't able to pull off one or two highlight plays.
Luck with a play fake and a deep drop. Slides left and throws it for Wilkins underneath. Devin McCourty comes up, closing to make the hit. But then Wilkins fights out to the 49 before McCourty.
So sexy.
McCourty made the tackle.
Sexy, sexy.
Playmaker right there.
So sexy.
Mike, can you find the end of that long clip? There's like a long clip of the Gordon one, like one that's like a minute long. And the last thing it's on, he just goes, sexy. Just like on his own, just like almost like under his
what
breath.
Was this
as if, like he's, it, if he's smoking
I
a
have
pipe.
It. I think I might have
okay,
it.
Just can you fast forward just the end
hang
of it?
On, hang w- on.
Was let's that a Saturday Live skit where they're like, it's too sexy?
Let's see where we are here. Hang on.
Game one in extra innings.
Oh, that's not it. That's a baseball clip.
That's a baseball clip. That's not it. I'll find it.
It's too sexy.
I'll find it.
It's way too sexy. All right. Let's see
if we have it. Okay, here.
Is it?
That's the thing you're going to have with this guy. The ability when things break down to just give a playmaker
January
a chance.
January 21st
to
is Squirrel Appreciation Day.
What is going on? I don't know what's going on.
Well, at least I know it's Squirrel Appreciation Day.
You know exactly what's going on, John. You have autoplay on your computer.
I got it.
So many other windows open.
Let's not ask John to do anything else.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
I got it. I promise.
Let's do it. Here we go.
Hit it, glasses.
Playmaker, a chance to go up and elevate and get it. That strength, it's power, but great job by Gordon recognizing that Brady's redirecting him. He goes all the way down inside and peels back.
Sexy.
There it is.
Woo!
By the way,
that's him having an ice cold iced tea. I gotta cool myself down. I just imagine being like one of the designing women. She's like, oh my goodness.
He's like the Randy designing women, or he's Blanche from the Golden Girls. I have news for you. This offense that they played against last night is worse than Detroit's.
Anyone name any of those receivers the Colts had last night? Other than Ebron, who was a lousy tight end who had a big game?
And a rookie running back. I'll tell
you
this.
How many drops for those no-names last night that killed
Ebron shouldn't
drives.
Be in the NFL. Ebron should not be in the NFL.
And the running backs were really two rookies that they had going last night?
It was a worse offense than the Lions.
But the one thing I will say is that Andrew Luck looks good.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's back. And he did last week, too.
Yeah, if he had someone to throw to. This is not a win if I'm a Patriots fan that I'm overly excited. Now,
defensively, no. Offensively, I was very encouraged about what it looks like to have Edelman back.
Sure, and you'll be in shootouts. I mean, that's going to be the rest of the season.
And that's the way it's been for a while with this team. But I like that. Now it seems like, however, Tom Brady has people to throw to. Guys he can hopefully trust. Maybe he's building trust with Josh Gordon.
You're in a situation now where if you play a good team, like the one you're going to play a week from Sunday, your offense can't afford Chris Hogan and Rob Gronkowski having passes bounce off them. Because it'll cost you. You'll lose 51-46.
Yep.
I mean, that's the problem here.
And Brady's, with this offense, is susceptible. He's on pace to throw more interceptions than he has in his career. All right, we will be back. 8:50, we have tickets to actually a game that's a little more sexy now.
Great job by Gordon, recognizing that Brady's redirecting him. He goes all the way down inside and peels back. Whew.
Sexy.
No idea.
Someone said, if we don't have a right said Fred mashup by the end of the hour, then we're not doing our job correctly.
That's a good idea. We got two playoff tickets. We got tickets to a special Monday matinee, Ottawa versus the Bruins. We'll have those at 8:50. Here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
If you're ready for this.
Say you're ready for this.
If you're ready for this.
Say you're ready for this.
Are you ready for this? We're ready.
Just can't miss with a beat like this. It's the joint. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Wade, hello, sir.
Hey, I was just calling. I've been listening to Rich since the Kid Craddock days. And I was just calling to let you guys know you're doing great radio. And Sarge is the worst human being alive.
Did not see that coming.
Thank you.
Didn't see it coming at all.
It's become the new Hey Guys.
Was that on your screen when you punched it in, Fred? Did you know that was coming?
No.
Okay.
But it's funny. Sarge texted Rich and said, asked if I had started all of this.
I mean, you kind of
did. And texted Nick. A lot? All right, Nick, get on the microphone. So Sarge texted you a lot. Now, was he blaming me?
No, he was kind of blaming me.
For letting the calls through?
Yeah,
I don't know who they're calling about and stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, are you supposed to answer every call and go, oh, and are you going to diss Sarge?
Sorry. Yeah, I don't ask that. He wants me to screen, the phone calls.
Listen,
why? So he's like pretty upset about people calling in saying he sucks.
It seemed like he was. Yeah.
All right. Well, did you tell him that I have nothing to do with it?
Yeah.
All right, because I
didn't we're not say asking anything. People to do that. It's just that for some reason the listeners have all united as one, and at the end of almost all their calls, they're saying something about Sarge.
Right.
Okay. It's not something we've encouraged.
Nope.
It's just something that the listeners. Have
I don't kind think of Sarge sucks.
Done on their own. I like Sarge. Yeah. I like Sarge a lot.
Yeah. I don't find anything wrong with Sarge.
No.
All right. what else? Right.
Well, remember how the Bruins looked on opening night? Well, they looked the opposite of that last night.
Puck squirted to the far point, scampering to try and keep it in on Pozo. Out at center ice, a clean look for Bergeron. He'll wheel ahead and fire into the empty net. He scores for Patrice Bergeron, an empty net goal. The Boston Bruins have a 4-0 lead here in Buffalo.
Less than 24 hours after embarrassing themselves in Washington, the Bruins put a beatdown on the Buffalo Sabres. 4-0, the final score. The team didn't have to worry about Tuukka Rask giving up 5 quick goals last night because Tuukka was on the bench giving away to a lock pitch in a shutout last night. 32 shots blocked, and dare I say, a goalie controversy of Bruin.
They got Halak so they could play him. I mean, there's no reason until they need rest, until there's back-to-backs, not to play Halak.
Well, what you hope, Fred, is that what happened last year when they ended up benching Tuukka Rask because of his poor performance, and he ended up sitting there for how many games? Was it almost like 5-6 games until they brought him back? And that was the moment that Tuukka got the message and started playing lights out for a while.
But Hudobin's not a starting goaltender in the NHL.
Understood.
Although he did fortunately play well enough.
No, I know he did, but Halak could be your starting goaltender.
He could be. I mean, that's why this is a legitimate controversy. And anyone trying to blow it off just because we're 2 games in, let's see how Cassidy handles this. He is not, I mean, he's definitely someone who will put the hot hand in.
He'll have a short leash this time based on what happened last year. I would expect Rask to play on Monday. They'll bring Rask back on Monday. It's early enough in the season where if you can try and get to, I mean, Rask sat there the entire night and saw what just happened. And he's hoping, I would think, Cassidy is hoping, it doesn't take 2 or 3 weeks this time.
All right, they got off to a slow start last year. They got blown out in historic proportions on opening night. Why lose? Just to satisfy Rask? Play Halak.
He started Hudobin 4 straight games in November last year.
Okay, so it was 4. Yeah. And then after that, that's when Tuukka went
Rask
on
the tear.
And by the way, Hudobin was terrible the year before that.
Yeah.
So I would play Halak.
Bruins had lost 4 out of 5 in early November. Remember how much they slumped. Hudobin came back in. They won 4 straight, and then Rask came back and took over.
By the way, DeBrusk I liked last night. I liked Heinen last night. Obviously, Donato had a goal, even though he's got some like herpes sore on his face or something like that.
They had Donato and DeBrusk like on the same acne. Line, by the way.
He's just teen acne, Fred.
Donato and DeBrusk on the same line.
Yes, I like
with
that.
With Krejci as the center.
Did you see the power play where everything just kept going back to Krejci?
I did not see that, no.
Oh, there was a power play, which they eventually scored on. But every bounce just went back to Krejci. They had like a minute and a half straight of in the zone, in Buffalo's zone, because it was like a pinball game. Everything just kept going back to Krejci.
Well, offensively, Boston's top line was back to once again looking like the best line in hockey.
Rolls it back of the net. Marchand swipes it, turns near hash, feeds Krejci, centers far side, fire, they score! David Pastrnak, bottom of the left wing circle, delayed and then dealt it while Hutton went down, and the Bruins have themselves a 3-0 lead.
So Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak, otherwise known as the Marbernock line by the cool kids. They were responsible for 7 points last night, and Marchand had a hand in all 4 goals, including feeding Char for the very first goal of the Bruins season. Really a hell of a bounce back for the Bees. They were unrecognizable from one game to the next. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
Not those exact words. We had a meeting this morning to address our compete level. It wasn't where it needed to be clearly last night, so we had to get it up there. And there was some teaching that needed to be done as well. We got some new faces and some reminders as a group. We haven't been together a whole lot, so I think some of that showed last night and in parts tonight. So those were the two areas we kind of tackled. And I think just the fact that our competitive spirit was there tonight was a good sign. And I think we got what we deserved, and that was a win.
Yeah, and but congratulations to Chara. I mean, that was not an easy goal. I mean, he was in there and put it in a place that was very difficult to defend. John, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I just want to talk about Marchand. I don't think he should have played last night. I think the league probably should have taken some action against him. He's a habitual line stepper. And the only person who probably should have been suspended more than Marchand would be Sarge. Maybe a permanent suspension for him.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to stop.
No.
It's not going to stop.
No,
it's not. No. Dave, hello. Dave?
Hi. I just wanted to say that you guys do an awesome job in the morning show, and I think Sarge is sexy.
Well, whew. Sexy.
Sarge, uh-huh. Sarge would be the first one to agree, I would think.
We need to have Sarge record something as to talk to the haters.
I mean, you could do that. Like five different ones on a loop so we could just play it after every call?
Just that one? Andrew Dice Sarge, or just Sarge the insult comic.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting an awful lot of flack.
Yeah. Not here to defend himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of these guys are going to talk about Sarge.
No.
I thought that was, is Marchand should have been suspended. I took the call.
Yeah, because that's a take that's been being thrown around. As a matter of fact, I saw somebody yesterday who was tweeting about, what's his name from the Capitals, who just got the 20 games? Wilson.
Tom Wilson.
Yeah, and they were saying that, you know, Marchand's much worse than Wilson. That is a take, so that's why you take that call.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
realize it was going to turn into a
the whole thing. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I think they should put on him with a lack and keep Ross on the bench. And I mean, he's not as bad as Sarge, but I mean, I still play Ross.
Aha!
All right.
I don't know any of these are coming through.
You callers, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's not nice. All right. We will be back.
Okay, somebody just tweeted us and said, here's how you can explain the Bruins goalie situation. Halak is like listening to Toucher and Rich, and Rask is like turning on the radio and finding out Sarge is suffering.
Aha!
That's not nice. Stop. We don't need you to tweet us that or call.
I mean, he was nice enough to let us in his home.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
No, there's no reason for that. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, what do you know? The Dead Dog is first up to bat. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, you could tell things were different with Kyrie Irving right from the jump at Media Day. He had a new confidence about him and said all the right things when it came to rumors about him leaving at the end of this year for the Knicks or another team not named the Celtics. However, what we didn't expect was for him to, out of nowhere, drop this bomb on us at a fan event at the TD Garden last night.
Some of my teammates, as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston, you guys will have me back. I plan on resigning here next year.
Okay, the reason that the audio isn't that great is because no one expected Kyrie Irving to say that at a fan event. And if you couldn't make out what he was saying, it's that he plans on resigning at the end of the year.
We scared him with all that Dolan talk at Media Day.
Possibly. All I know is that, Zolak, what do you think about that?
Sexy.
That's extremely sexy. I might not be able to stand up for a while.
No, that's good news.
That is.
In that, but I will temper it with, it ultimately means nothing. But
well, sure.
It is good news.
But and you
it's
know what?
Better than not saying anything.
How Kyrie Irving is that to just out of nowhere drop this? So Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe did a little digging as to how this all came about. And according to a league source, Irving had initiated brief conversations with the Celtics
in recent days in which he indicated that he was, quote, pretty confident he wants to re-sign with the team this summer after opting out of the final year of his current deal. The Celtics believed Irving wanted to be a Celtic, but there hadn't really been recent in-depth chats about the matter. Now, when the Celtics were caught almost off guard by the incident, the sudden pronouncement, Irving told them he just wanted them to know exactly how he felt. So Irving also informed the Celtics he wanted to make his sentiment public. According to a league source, he said he would declare it during his group interview with the media prior to Thursday's fan event. Now, do they mean just, they don't mean, when they say prior, they don't mean like media day. They mean right before it?
I guess.
Okay, I guess so. Okay, well, the scrum was held, oh yeah, here it is. The scrum was held in front of a green tarp in the visitors' locker room at the TD Garden, and Irving spoke for nearly 9 minutes. He talked about his sore ribs and his business aspirations, but never mentioned anything about his future in Boston. Now, he wasn't asked, but he did not tell the Celtics. He had another approach in mind, however, and while taking part in a brief question and answer that you heard right there that was monitored by Brian Scalabrine, Irving was asked about how important it was for him to have his number 11 retired by the Celtics one day. That's when Irving stood up from a bar stool on the court with a microphone in hand and said that he planned to re-sign with the Celtics. So, I mean, as you said, Fred, ultimately, until there's ink on the paper, it doesn't mean anything. But the fact that he came right out and said that is
initiated the conversation
awesome.
To begin with.
Oh, certainly. Amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, we called Brian Scalabrine about something yesterday, and he was very upset that we interrupted his workout.
I'm not upset. He
his
was just,
first one of the day. He works out twice a day. I
but
think.
He was, yeah. And he goes to Lifetime Fitness.
No.
And I have been told by two people that he works out without shoes on.
I think you asked him that. You said, are you working out with those shoes on
and
right
then
now?
He would just, I couldn't understand. And he goes, yeah, that's a good story. But why would two people tell me he works out with no shoes on? I mean, that's got to be his whole thing. All right, so John, your thoughts on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, gentlemen, I got two quick points. One, I think this is an amazing time to be a Boston fan. And two, I'm so glad that Sarge got into radio because normally overweight, unathletic, non-girl-getting guys in high school become dangerous police officers. So I'm really, really glad that Sarge is on the radio. I mean, it's the most horrific thing in the world when I hear his voice because the station is amazing.
We have to cut this bit. I will not stand for you disrespecting Sarge or police officers. Not in that order. Police officers first, and then Sarge.
Well, I mean, he's just saying that there's a certain maybe percentage of police officers that.
I do not support that statement.
Have it out for the public after being teased mercilessly when they were younger.
I know is that why do these people keep calling about Sarge? I don't think that's very fair. He is back on Twitter, by the way, defending himself. So yeah, the fact
he's on Twitter right now.
yeah,
didn't look.
He's up nice and early. Sarge is up nice.
He's,
and early.
He's texting Nick.
Yeah, is he?
Is he?
Right, Nick, what is he texting you?
Why are you letting these jamokes through?
Well, he texted me two eyeball emojis. And then he texts me a pen and paper saying he's taking notes.
Why? You
know, he's taking notes?
About what?
About everything that people are saying.
Oh, so he can respond?
Yeah.
Well, he's taking notes.
Somebody on line one has an idea.
All right. Ben, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, he's definitely rewriting the words to Eminem's Stan, rewriting it to Sarge, and... Look, this could be really big. It could be great online. It could really help the station out. Maybe Sarge just needs some coaching from Mark Gianelli on how to be gracious and how to be warm and welcoming, and that might help.
And you know,
I love meatballs.
Possibly.
Right. Nick got Mark Gianelli's cribs that we should debut next week.
Oh, I can't wait. There hasn't been a segment I've been this excited for in a long, long time.
Was he into some Manhattans at the time?
Oh, he was deep in his first Manhattan, so they must have been after 3 o'clock then. Okay, good. Yeah, was he feeling saucy?
You are a dick.
He's always on that first one. He's always on the first one.
You got to put a lot of love in it you make the meatball.
Never had a Manhattan. Is there any good?
I used to drink them my senior year in college.
Okay.
I just want to have an event where just your dad makes us all meatballs. Just or maybe listeners. Our own St. Anthony's Feast right here at the radio station.
Just Manhattan meatballs?
Just Manhattans
M&Ms?
And meatballs. Oh, that should be a name of an event we have. Manhattans and Meatballs with Mark Gianelli.
It could be M to the third power. Marcimelli, meatballs and Manhattans.
All the meatballs were gone.
And you can call, and you can call it,
I've had my usual dosage, yes.
As usual dosage of Manhattans. Mm-hmm. Well, Troy Brown was patiently waiting outside when I went down to get a soda.
Lunch pail guy. Probably got 3 hours of sleep last night.
That's right.
Still made it in this
he
morning.
He did the NBC Sports Boston. We'll talk to him. No commercials here, just the headlines.
From the town of Bear Tires, WBZFM HD Boston. This is the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Leslie Media Group.